really working with the family to identify how we can better care for them so they're resting better, they're staying in bed better. So working with the family and it being real collaborative, involving them in the care planning process is helpful in the decision making, and they understand better what we're doing in the nursing home too.
Hey out there, welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this episode. Today we're talking about bed rail safety. What constitutes a bed rail and why are they on their face typically more dangerous and do more harm than good? But we're not having that conversation alone. We have the fantastic Shelley Wills on the podcast today to guide us through that issue. But now it is time for the nursing home regulation question of the week and another opportunity for you to ignore my consistent pleas to participate in this contest and win this coffee mug. So you're going to go to TikTok at Justice for Residents. You're going to find the question of the week video. This particular thumbnail that you're looking for is going to have Belle from Beauty and the Beast, the Disney classic from the 90s, in the thumbnail. So look for that thumbnail and then comment your answer as well as your favorite Disney princess. My favorite Disney princess is Belle. Now, keep in mind, I haven't seen every single Disney movie. I haven't made it all the way through because trust me, my son would. We could binge watch all the Disney movies. But I liked Belle the most. Like, I feel like she was the one that was like, you know, reads books. I think maybe her dad was an inventor or something. But she was a good one. I liked Belle. I liked that story. Anyway, that's my favorite one. So comment your answer. Comment your favorite Disney princess. A random winner will be announced Sunday on TikTok and at shinkfirm.com/podcast/giveaway. And then the mug will be shipped at the end of the month, but who knows? I doubt anyone's going to participate. Even the half dirty dozen will probably ignore my requests. So here we go. Question of the week. Difficulty level this week, folks, is medium. If you get this right, I don't know, give yourself an extra of a large French fry. Don't get just the large French fry. You get the biggie fry. You have my permission. Under 42 CFR 483.50, what must a facility do if it does not provide laboratory services on site? A, enter into an agreement with an external laboratory to obtain necessary services for residents. B, require residents or their families to arrange and pay for all laboratory services independently. Or C, only offer emergency laboratory services while referring routine tests to hospitals. And that is A, enter into an agreement with an external laboratory to obtain necessary services for residents. All right, folks, we're talking all about bed rail safety. We're not doing that alone. We have Shelley Wills on the podcast. So Shelley is a registered nurse and legal nurse consultant with over 31 years of healthcare experience, including 28 years as a nurse specializing in the nursing home industry. She has served as a CNA instructor, care plan coordinator, and director of nursing, always advocating for residents and families. Now, as a legal nurse consultant, Shelley uses her expertise to help attorneys navigate complex medical cases with clear, unbiased insights into nursing home care. And we are so happy to have her on the show. Shelley, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a softball question. And I'm just going to ask, when we talk about bed rails, what is a bed rail? What constitutes a bed rail?
So a bed rail is, we also call them a side rail. And it would be a railing that is attached to the frame of the bed. And it could be the full length of the bed on either or both sides of the bed. Or we could see side rails or bed rails that are only half the length of the bed or the quarter of the length of the bed, or even a shorter rail that would be more like a assistive device or a like a grab rail to help position residents.
So when we're talking about like the dangers of bed rails, is it all those rails that you just mentioned, or is it just a certain type of bed rail?
Well, I think the the higher risk would be for the more extensive bed rail. The more railing you put around the bed, the higher the risk for injury.
Okay, so then what is the what are the primary risks associated with the long bed rail? Like, what are we worried about?
Okay, so there was a time in nursing home history where bed rails were very commonplace in a facility. And through the course of time, we realized that people, it didn't necessarily keep them safer. And there was studies done, and they identified that people did a couple of things. One of the things is they get entrapped in the rail itself. So an arm or a leg or their head gets stuck between the rails somehow. The entanglement or entrapment thing is a big safety concern. The other thing that happens is they can get their head stuck or a limb stuck between the bed rail and the mattress or the frame of the bed. And those could be minor injuries from bruises to skin tears on up to maybe say strangulation. And probably the most common injury that I've seen with side rails would be the fact that people climb over the top of them. So a bed rail could be 12 to 15 inches higher than the level of the mattress. And by the time a resident climbs over that and then can't reach the floor safely, they're at a huge risk to fall, and they're falling from a higher place, and then that we increase the risk for serious injury there.
So, okay, well, if we are, if our resident is at risk for falling out of bed, but at the same time, is potentially at risk if there is a bed rail, what are we supposed to do? Like, what are the steps of deciding whether or not they should get a bed rail?
Well, that's a great question. One of the thing, first thing that would happen is on admission, we're going to take a really close look at that person's risk factors. So, being a new admission makes them at higher risk. Their cognitive ability, their strength, their ability to move safely, transfer themselves safely, all of those things would be taken into consideration. And we would probably normally have physical therapy evaluate them as well and get a overall picture of what they need, what their risk is, and then try to find the least restrictive way to keep them safe. And usually side rails is not the first thing. So we would do things like put them in a room close to the nurse's station, say. So we'd increase their surveillance, keep an eye on them closer. We would maybe put them in a bed that goes very, very low down to the floor. So if they did get out, it's just a very short few inches to the floor surface. We would maybe put pads on the floor. So if they did come off the bed, that it's a soft landing. Lots of facilities use some type of an alarm system. So when they move off the bed or when they step onto the floor, it alarms and the staff comes and helps. So any one or all or some combination of those types of things. Another thing they use often is a mattress that's got kind of a raised edge. So there's a boundary for the edge of the bed. Some places and some residents, you have to be very creative to find ways to keep them safe without necessarily going to a full bed rail on their bed.
So I guess the default is no bed rail, and we're doing everything we possibly can before we institute a bed rail.
That's basically the starting point, is we would start with no side rail. And there's another factor to consider, and that's the fact that this would be considered a restraint in some cases. So th that plays in as well in the decision.
Is there a particular profile or portrait of the resident that would be suitable for a side rail? Like, who are we talking about would qualify?
Well, they would. Probably the deciding factor is going to be, is it something that's needed specifically for a medical reason? So we could talk about a resident who is in a situation where they can't move in bed without a little bit of help. So say they've just had some type of a surgery or a weakness, and they could move from side to side, roll from left to right if they had something to hang on to. And we could maybe put a side rail, get a doctor's order, do all the assessments, get side rails on the side of the bed, on for part of the bed, you know, say like a quarter of the bed, a quarter rail, so they can hang on to and help position themselves, not necessarily to keep them in the bed, but to help them be able to move. The other time that I've seen side rails used for a medical reason is for someone that has seizures. And in those cases where they cannot be safely kept in bed due to the fact that they have a seizure activity, they would possibly be a candidate for a side rail.
I feel like from what you've described, it almost starts from cognition. Like the person has to be completely self-aware. And then we're just talking about what their ability is in terms of their physical ability to their physical bed mobility at that point. But it starts with, are they able to be
Yes.
aware?
And you know, for if you think about someone, a lot of people come from a hospital setting where they've had a change of condition, they've been in a different environment. Often they've had side rails there at the hospital. That's more common than in the nursing home. And they come to the nursing home, and we just expect that they're going to recognize the side rail and know they need to get help. So they're going to ring the call light, and we'll come and help them to the restroom. Well, that's really not what happens. In a lot of cases, and I'm thinking of people that I've taken care of, and even my own family, they will just really go ahead and help themselves, even though they're cognitively aware and assume they can get out of that bed safely. So it's not necessarily as helpful as we think it's going to be to put a side rail on a bed.
So let me ask a dumb question. Let me get your opinion on this. I don't understand why this isn't a design issue. Like what, why can't we design a mattress bed bed rail combo that keeps somebody from falling out of bed but also keeps them from asphyxiating? I feel like that would be an easy solution.
I think it seems like it would be pretty low tech. We ought to be able to do it. There are some things that we do that we can do, which would be like a wedge cushion that fits in there and some things that fill the gap and that helped, you know, mitigate that risk. But I want to go back to, again, there's other regulations, specifically the idea of restraining people, that there's going to be a factor there. So it's not just 100% on safety. There's a degree of the fact that they have the right to free movement. So to and it and maybe even a dignity issue when we're saying to my 80-year-old dad who's doing life, and if he has a stroke and tomorrow he's in the nursing home, that you're stuck in this bed with these rails up, whether you like it or not. And so that's a factor in it. It isn't just that we can't keep him safe, is that there's other factors too.
That makes sense. I guess I don't think about it that way. That's what probably makes the issue extremely difficult. It's the convergence of those things, the safety, the dignity,
Absolutely.
and the restraint concept.
Yes.
Okay, so what do the federal regulations tell us about bed rail usage? Like what are the steps? And they might mirror what you've already described, but what are the regs
Basically.
say?
So there is no regulation specific to the use of side rails. There's not one that just says, here's what you do for side rails. There are regulations that are more general that the side rail use fits under, and I've touched on those already. The safety component, we have the regulations say we have to provide a safe environment for them. And so all of the things, so you look at that factor. And then we have to provide a restraint-free environment. They have the right to move freely. And so then we look at that and take that into consideration. And that regulation talks about the least restrictive amount of restraint possible. So there's nothing that it's not a simple yes you can, no you can't, yes or no equation to side rails. It's kind of a It's very resident specific, and it's dynamic. They may change their level of cognition, their strength, their whatever happens and changes. We continually assess them and make sure we're handling their safety properly with those side rails on or not on.
Do you ever have to have the conversation with a family member, like, hey, why can't my mother keeps falling out of bed? Why can't you put bed rails up? Like, have you ever had to have that conversation, explain these things? How do you explain it in a way that I guess makes sense to them?
Well, first of all, it's a teaching moment. You know, we have to talk about what the regulations say, just like we are here today. And then the other thing that I think is probably maybe more important is, and I haven't really gotten into this, but we need to look at the reasons people want to get out of bed. Are they needing to go to the bathroom more often? Are they cold? Are they in pain? Why are they not asleep? And so, really working with the family to identify how we can better care for them so they're resting better, they're staying in bed better. And typically, people don't roll out of bed necessarily. They're trying to get out of that bed. So, there's a reason for that. And so, working with the family and being real collaborative and involving them in the care planning process is helpful in the decision making. And they understand better what we're doing in the nursing home, too.
Okay, so I guess then like it there should be like a checklist of here are all the things that we should do as an alternative to those side rails. Like, and you just you go through them all before the side rail talk even begins.
That's basically the way it is handled. Yes.
Okay, so that's a great point that you said a little bit earlier about how like we need to find out why they're getting up. And I think to kind of segue, sometimes it's that transition from hospital to nursing home where the family sees the resident has bed rails and then not at the nursing home, and they want to have that squared away.
Yes. So they assume that what we're doing in the hospital is what we're going to do automatically when they get to the facility. And that's not necessarily the case. So it's helpful if we can identify and do teaching with the family so they understand that the rules and regulations that govern that hospital are not what we work under in a nursing home, and that there's just a different level of care that we're providing from the hospital to the nursing home, and we're not going to look exactly the same.
Very well said. Well, Shelley, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your knowledge with us.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Folks, I hope that you found this episode educational. If you have any ideas for topics that you would like for me to discuss, please let me know. If you have any ideas for guests that you'd like for me to talk to, please let me know that as well. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every single Monday. And again, please make sure that you do something to get this mug. That would make my wife happy so I can get these boxes out of the house. And with that, folks, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes for now are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.